Hey, good morning, everyone. How are the early risers doing? You guys up and at 'em? Man, I'm glad you're here this weekend. If you happen to be here for the very first time, we hope you feel welcome. Let me introduce myself to you. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm going to be giving the message, sort of give you a little info where we're going to go. If you want to click on your app or actually open your Bible, we're going to be in James chapter 5, like we were last weekend if you were here. James chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 13 to 16 in James chapter 5. We've been doing a series on healing. We're going to continue that today and over the next couple of weeks after that as well. Before we actually jump into the message, though, we're going to receive our offering. And so, you know, if our ushers at both campuses would come forward, you know, we have another campus that is meeting at 10 o'clock, our Peoria campus. Sometimes we forget about that. They meet at Deer Valley Road and about 98th Avenue in an elementary school up there. And so we're going to also pray that God really moves in their service. It's going to be starting very, very shortly. But I want to thank those of you that give financially to God through our church and remind you that when we do that, it really makes a difference. You know, we're helping people in all kinds of ways, whether it's through the new free medical clinic that we have starting up that we're partnering with Banner Hospital on. You know, it's going to start up on the 17th, and it's going to be every Tuesday, or whether it's through one of the big outreaches that we do, or many of the various ways that we help bless our community. We really do help people when we give financially through our church. May the Lord bless you and bless us as we do that. We're going to pray for the offering. Let's open our hearts to God and ask God to speak into our hearts through the Bible as we worship Him through the study of His Word as well. Okay, so let's pray together. Lord, thank You for the opportunity to participate with You in what You're doing in the world financially, God. And as we give our finances to You, we know, Lord, that You use those to help change people's lives. And we ask that You do that as we give this weekend or whenever we give, Lord, that You would use them to not only glorify Jesus, but to really help people. Bless both the gifts that we give and also bless us for our faithfulness to You in giving. And Lord, as we look into the Scriptures now, we do pray, Holy Spirit, that You would speak to us out of the Bible. I pray that You would use me, that You would fill me and empower me as I deliver this message, Lord, that You would not only be glorified through it, but Your words would really be spoken through me. And we do pray for our campus in Peoria, Holy Spirit, that You would move in a mighty way there as they're going to begin their service very shortly. Thank You for being with us this weekend, Lord. We're very grateful, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, like I said a moment ago, we began a new series last weekend about healing. I've called this What About Healing? And at the end of the service last weekend, I gave the opportunity for anybody that would like to receive prayer for any kind of malady, a physical malady, an emotional, spiritual, whatever, to come to the front and receive prayer. And literally, we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people come to the front to receive prayer, which was great. And we've heard many stories this week of how God touched so many different people. Thank you for emailing me. And if you were touched last weekend and you didn't email me, please make sure you do, because we love to hear those stories. And some of the people that were touched by God, they were healed all the way. Others were made a little bit better. Some were not healed at all, but they really experienced the presence of God in some way. You know, I just want to read you one email that I received on Monday that just kind of sums up some of what God did last weekend. The writer says, "Dear Pastor Brian, I wanted to share this about the healing service today." So evidently she wrote this last Sunday. "When I walked into the lobby this morning, I immediately knew that the Lord was doing something special. I stopped in front of the screen to catch the last of your sermon from the early service, and people were already praying in the lobby, myself included. I believe there are some people already being healed in the lobby as well. I had the wonderful opportunity to pray along with others for a lady on a walker, and I saw her get up and walk. Her back pain was completely gone. I know because we asked her. Last year, the ministry team prayed with me through rounds of chemo and surgery, and now I'm well. But I've had some stomach issues since that time, and so today I asked the Lord to heal that. and I've had no problems for the rest of the day. In fact, I even managed to drink some afternoon coffee with no problems. Smiley face. God is indeed moving in an awesome way at the Vineyard. Thank you for staying true to the gospel and for the wonderful teaching that keeps us all fed with much appreciation. That's just, yeah, you can praise the Lord for that. Just one sort of example, and I'm excited to see what God is going to do this weekend as well. Now, last weekend, we did study some of James chapter 5 that we're going to look at again this weekend. And in that passage of Scripture, James talks about different situations that we oftentimes find ourselves in and what we're supposed to do. And so he says, if you're suffering in some way, what you need to do is you need to pray. He says, if you're sick in some way, what you need to do is call for the elders of the church and have them pray for you. And so we're going to try to glean a few more things out of that same passage. We're going to begin in James 5, starting in verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering that he must pray? Is anyone cheerful? He's to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who's sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Now, last weekend, we sort of focused on the part of this where it talks about when we're sick, we're to call the elders of the church and ask them to pray for us. And I explained last weekend that elders at the Vineyard have to function as elders. We don't have specific people that are actually called elders because we want the people who are the actual elders in our church to function in the manner of an elder and not just have the title. Now, the Greek word for elder there, it means those who watch over you, those who shepherd you, those who care for you, those who minister to you, those who spiritually guide you. So let me stop there and just ask you a question. Who is an elder in your life? Who's an elder? You know, unfortunately, there are some of you here that you don't have anyone in your life who functions as an elder. There's no one in your life that is shepherding you or spiritually guiding you. Why not? Well, because for various reasons, some of you have chosen to stay sort of on the periphery of our church and not really get involved. Well, why is that? Well, maybe because you're afraid of getting involved, or maybe you're sort of looking for a church home and you've been checking out the Vineyard, but you're not sure this is the church for you. I totally understand that. Or maybe just it's because you don't really want to commit that deeply to a church. But I want you to know, if you're going to become all that God wants you to become, you have to get off the sideline and get into the game. See, to be everything that God created you to be, you have to get involved in the life of the church. And one of the best ways to get involved in the life of this church is to join a small group. Why? Because almost everything in our church revolves around our small groups. And our small group leaders, they are our first line of pastoral care. They actually function as elders. That's who our small group leaders are. They are like the pastors of our church. Now, they're not paid to be a pastor, but that's what they do in function. They are shepherding the people in their churches. In their small groups. Now, another thing about small groups, if you've never gone to a small group at our church, you need to know it's also a whole lot of fun. It really is. I mean, the people in the group, after a while, you get to know one another, and you begin doing life together with the people in your small group. And the truth is, most people in our culture do not have a meaningful relational network of friends around them. And therefore, whenever any kind of tragedy strikes their life, and by the way, that happens to all of us, that's just part of what life is. Tragedies happen. Crises happen. They just do. Whether it's a financial crisis you're going through, maybe a loved one dying. You know, maybe you're going through some sort of sickness with your, you know, yourself or one of your loved ones. Or, you know, maybe you're having a major problem with one of your children. If you're married, maybe you're going through a marital issue of some kind. Crises, tragedies, they just happen. And most people don't have a meaningful relational network of people around them to help them through that. And that's how some of you are. When a crisis hits, there's nobody there to help you. You know, we're a large church, and multiple people call our church office every week telling us about a crisis that they're going through right then. And one of the very first things we say to them is, do you have anybody in your life that can help you through this? Are you in one of our small groups? And unfortunately, so often the answer is no. You know, that's why they're calling the church office. They don't have an elder in their life that they can call. So I want to encourage you, don't wait until a tragedy strikes. No, get involved in a small group, and very shortly, you will have a meaningful relational network of people around you to help you with whatever life brings your way. Now, the hard part about this, obviously, is that you have to take the initiative to do this. I can't do it for you. One of our pastors, they can't do it for you. See, it's your responsibility to go to a group and begin to get involved in the life of that group. And I know, it's hard. You know, it's hard to go to a small group where you think you're not going to know anybody, and am I going to be accepted, and all those kinds of things. You know, those feelings are normal. But if you do go to a small group, you'll get to know those people very, very quickly. And all of a sudden, you'll have a group of people that you begin to walk through life with. So don't wait until a tragedy strikes. Get involved in a group. Now, there are three essential truths that I want everybody in our church family to understand. The first one is that when you become a follower of Jesus, you become a part of the body of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. And you cannot disconnect yourself from the body without there being repercussions in your life. And not only in your life, but also in the life of the body, because you are an important part of the body. You may not feel like you're an important part, but you are. Because every member of the body is an important part. Now, the second essential truth I want you to know is that a commitment to Christ means a commitment to his body. In other words, you cannot be truly committed to Jesus and not be truly committed to the body of Jesus. Now, people try to do that. They think they can do that, but it's impossible. Jesus says that over and over and over. And by the way, being really committed to his body means more than just attending a weekend service from time to time. Now, I know that there are some of you that deep down, you would love to feel more of a part of Vineyard Church North Phoenix. You feel sort of like you're on the outside looking in. And you would love to feel like you're more of a part. But because of, you know, maybe your personality, or because of your shyness, or because of fear, or maybe because you had a past bad experience at a different church or whatever, you've been holding back from getting more involved. You've been thinking to yourself, well, if I go to a small group, will the people in the group accept me? If I get more involved in the Vineyard, you know, will people here, you know, like me? Will they accept me? Those kinds of feelings, those are normal. Everybody has those. But we have to push through those fears and push through those insecurities and go to a small group before we actually experience the blessings of the small group. In fact, you may even have to try several different small groups until you find one that you really click with. Maybe you tried a small group here at the Vineyard a while back, and it was just a bunch of weird people, and you didn't like it. Because the truth is, we have a lot of weird people in this church. Just look around. Look in the mirror. We have a lot of weird people in this church. We do. And so sometimes you have to try out several different groups until you find one that you really click with. But I want you to know, whatever group you go to, the small group leader in that group, they will accept you, they will love you, they will be there for you, they will help you in any way they can. They will. I mean, they are amazing people. The small group leader and the other people in the group, they'll be delighted that you're checking out their group. In fact, I just want to take a moment, and I want to honor those of you that are shepherding people in our church on a regular basis. You're laying down your life for your small group on a regular basis. I want to take a moment and thank you for that, and I want to honor you. So if you're a small group leader, would you please stand up right now, wherever you are, just stand up in the room. Small group leaders, everybody, I know it's weird. Stand up all over the room. Thank you so much for what you do in shepherding people. You are the heroes of our church. You're amazing. Thank you so much for what you do. Now, those of you that are not part of a small group and you'd like to be, man, go ask one of those people that stood up around you and have them tell you about their group and check it out, or just go to the information center afterwards and we can help you with finding the right small group for you. That will really help you to feel more of a part of Vineyard Church North Phoenix. And by the way, another way to feel more of a part of our church is by actually becoming a member of our church. You know, so many people just attend our church and they're not really members. They've never taken our newcomers class. If you haven't taken our newcomers class, please take our newcomers class. And then after you take that, take our membership class and become a member. Now you say, well, Brian, why is that important? Because membership is really about one thing. It's about commitment. It's about commitment. And that is so countercultural in our culture these days. Nobody wants to commit to anything these days. We don't want to commit to our jobs. We don't want to commit to our friends. We don't want to commit to our marriage oftentimes. We don't want to commit to a church. And so to become a member of a church and really commit to a church, what you're doing is you're making a stand. And you're saying, I'm going to allow God to use me and all of my gifts and all of my abilities and all my talents in any way that he wants to help this church become everything that God wants this church to be. That's what commitment is about. And becoming a member means you're committing. See, a member is not just an attender. A member is a participant. A member is somebody who doesn't just sit on the sideline. A member is somebody who rolls up their sleeves and they get in the game. So I encourage you, if you're not already a member, become a member. You will feel so much more a part of what God's doing here at our church. And remember, a commitment to Jesus Christ means a commitment to his body. All right, the third essential truth I want you to understand is that you are called to do the works of Jesus. You are. Jesus said in John 14:12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me. Is that you? Do you believe in Jesus? If you do, then this verse is for you. He who believes in me, Jesus says, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do because I go to the Father. You are called to do the works of Jesus. And part of the works of Jesus means that we are all to pray for the sick, because that's a big part of what Jesus did. He prayed for the sick. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He ministered to the poor. He preached the gospel. He did lots of things. But praying for the sick is definitely part of his works. And so that's what God has called every follower of Jesus to be involved in doing. It's not just for a few people who are on the ministry team, a few people who you think are really spiritual. It's for all of us. And I understand it's very difficult to pray for the sick when you've never been trained. And so that's what we do here at the Vineyard. We train you how to do this. We don't just say, go do it. We train you how to do it. Where do we train you how to do it? In our ministry training classes. If you haven't taken our ministry training one and our ministry training two class, man, that is a must for every one of us because you are called to do the works of Jesus. Healing is part of the works of Jesus, and we'll train you how to do it. But you have to take the classes. All right, now back in verse 14 of James 5, James talks about elders praying for the sick in the name of the Lord. Now, sometimes there's confusion about what that means. What does in the name of the Lord mean? Look back at verse 14. Is anyone among you sick, James says, then you must call for the elders of the church. They're to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, I told you last week that oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing magic in oil, but it's a point of contact for faith. It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, if you want to pray for people with oil for them to be healed, that's certainly a viable way for us to pray for people. You know, the apostles, sometimes they used oil in praying for the sick. Other times they didn't use oil. So either one is okay. But one of the questions that I get asked quite often when I talk about this or when people read this in James 5, they'll say, well, Brian, you know, it says to use oil. What kind of oil do I need to use in praying for the sick? Do I need to use oil that's been blessed by a priest? Do I need to use oil that, you know, I send away for that's like holy oil from the land of Israel or something? No, you don't have to use any kind of special oil. Use any oil you have around. Use Wesson, use 3-in-1, use Valvoline. It does not matter. Whatever you have around, because oil is just it's a point of contact for faith. It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So use any kind you want. Now, in the name of the Lord, when James talks about that phrase, I want you to know, it's not some kind of magic saying. It's not some kind of magic formula. It's not like, well, if I just say the name Jesus real loudly, or if I just say the name Jesus over and over and over, then whatever I'm praying for is going to happen. No, it's not a magic saying. In fact, the sons of Sceva, they found this out pretty dramatically in Acts chapter 19. Look at what it says in verse 13. But also some of the Jewish exorcists, those who were trying to get demons out of people, who went from place to place, they attempted to name over those who had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Seven sons of one Sceva, Jewish chief priest, they were doing this. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus, and I know about Paul, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them and subdued all of them, seven of them, and overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. See, using the name of Jesus without identifying with the person of Jesus has little power. I mean, a parrot can say the name Jesus. There's nothing magic in the name, just saying it. That's not what it's about. And by the way, you know, when demons manifest in a person, and we've dealt with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of demons over the years that have infiltrated a person's body, a person's life, and oftentimes they will manifest in that body and we have to cast them out. You know, when a demon manifests in a person's body, people that have never really dealt much with demons, they think that all these peripheral things will help them get the demon out of the person. And so oftentimes people will take out like a big cross and point it at the person who's manifesting the demon. thinking that that's going to get the demon out of the person. Or they'll make the sign of the cross, you know, in front of the person. Or they'll, you know, use oil, you know, like I talked about a minute ago, thinking that the demon's going to be afraid of the oil. And that's going to get the demon out of the person. Or maybe they'll read the Bible. Sometimes they'll just open the Bible in front of the person who's manifesting a demon, like they're going to be afraid of the Bible. You know, like, ooh, you know, that doesn't work. You know, or maybe they'll read some of the Bible to the person. Maybe they'll read, you know, part of the book of Leviticus. You know, I think they're trying to bore the demon out of, you know, the person by reading a bunch of the Old Testament laws or something. You know, sometimes they'll speak in tongues thinking that's going to get rid of the demon, or just say the name Jesus over and over and over. You know, none of those things have any effect on demons. Do you know why? Because demons are afraid of Jesus. They're not afraid of his name being repeated over and over and over. They're afraid of Jesus. So what does "in the name of the Lord," what does that actually mean? It means coming as his representative. It means coming empowered by Jesus himself. It means coming as an extension of Jesus, as relying on Jesus. That's what coming in the name of the Lord means. And by the way, if you want to know more about deliverance, about how to cast demons out of people, because that is part of the works that Jesus did. We're supposed to do his works. So if you ever run into a demon, and by the way, if you pray for enough sick people, I guarantee you, you will run into a demon. You need to be trained how to get rid of it. Guess what? We train you. Guess where? Our ministry training classes. Again, another reason why you need to take those classes. Okay, let me answer another question about this. Does healing always happen when we do this? Look back at verse 15. The prayer offered in faith will restore, James says, the one who's sick. Now, in reality, that's problematic. Because often we pray for people to get well, like we did last weekend. Some people got well, many of you did not. We pray for people to get well, and they're not restored, like James says. And so oftentimes what happens for those of us that are praying for the sick is that we go away from those experiences feeling disillusioned, feeling discouraged. We think, well, I couldn't do it. We think things like, I'm not good enough to be able to do this. Or, since healing didn't happen, we think that it must be somebody's fault that it didn't happen. It's either my fault or it's the sick person's fault. Or we start thinking things like, well, I didn't have enough faith to heal this person, or they didn't have enough faith, or I was too sinful to be used by God to heal them, or they were too sinful to be healed. And so whose fault is it when somebody we're praying for to be healed isn't healed? Well, we don't believe the Bible teaches that at all. We don't believe the Bible teaches that it's anybody's fault necessarily. Now, back in verse 15, James says, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who's sick. What's the prayer offered in faith? I told you last weekend that to pray at all means to pray the prayer of faith. If I didn't have faith that there is a God and that he hears my prayers and that he responds to my prayers, then I wouldn't pray at all. If you have enough faith to just pray, that's all the faith it takes. It just takes the faith of a mustard seed in order for God to heal a sick person. You don't have to be this super spiritual person in order to pray the prayer of faith. You just have to have enough faith to pray at all. And if you pray at all, that's all it takes. You say, well, Brian, why aren't some sick people healed then when we pray for them? Well, that's a complicated issue. You know, there could be multiple reasons. But one of the most important truths that every follower of Jesus really needs to understand is the truth about the kingdom of God that is talked about over and over and over in the vineyard. I talked a little bit about this last weekend, but this is such an important truth. And some of you weren't here last weekend, and even those of you that were here, you've forgotten it already. Okay, so I need to reteach it, all right? So the kingdom of God, the Bible talks about the kingdom of God being already here and yet not yet here at the same time. That's what we talk about it here at the Vineyard. Now you say, well, what do you mean? Well, when Jesus began his public ministry, the first recorded things that Jesus said are in Mark 1, verse 15, where Jesus says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. There's the phrase, the kingdom of God. It's at hand. Repent, he says, and believe in the gospel. So Jesus was saying that he brought a portion of the kingdom of God in the age to come to this earth when he came to earth. He brought the beginning, the inauguration of the kingdom of God to earth. And then over the next 3 years, Jesus demonstrated that the kingdom of God truly was here on this earth. For example, he would lay his hands on a sick person and he would heal them and he would say to them, the kingdom of God has come upon you. This is a demonstration. This is evidence. You used to be sick. Now you're well. The kingdom of God is at hand. He would cast out a demon and he would say to them, the kingdom of God is at hand. You used to be demonized. Now you're set free. This is evidence. The kingdom of God is at hand. He would preach the gospel. He would minister to the poor. He would raise the dead. He would say, the kingdom of God is at hand. Therefore, Jesus brought the kingdom of God to earth. And so the kingdom of God is already here on earth. And it's been here since Jesus came around 2,000 years ago when he came the first time. The kingdom of God is here. And yet, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus tells us, I want you to pray this. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, I'm confused. You just said the kingdom is here. Why do you want me to pray for it to come? Well, yeah, it is here, but it's not fully here. It's not here like it'll be one day when Jesus comes again. Which, by the way, no man knows the day or the hour. When Jesus comes again, that's going to be the consummation of the kingdom of God on earth. The fullness of the kingdom of God on earth. But until that time, the kingdom of God is not fully here. And therefore, we're to pray for the kingdom of God to come. And so the kingdom of God is already here, and it's not yet here at the same time. At the same time. And we have to live in that tension. You know, one of the ways I talk about the kingdom of God, the already of the kingdom and the not yet of the kingdom, is it's sort of like a picket fence. You know, y'all know what a picket fence looks like. And when you look at a picket fence, you can ask yourself, is that fence all wood? No. Is it all space? No. It's both. It's wood and it's not wood at the same time. And that's sort of like the kingdom is. It's here and it's not here at the same time. Or another way we talk about it, and I told you this last week, and we think about the kingdom of God, sort of the already and the not yet, is kind of like the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat put together. And it's kind of like that old television show, The Wide World of Sports, and the introduction to that show. And I showed you the introduction last week, and I'm going to show you a different one a few years later right now to kind of show you how we think about this. So let's go ahead and run that.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
You know, to me, that is such a great picture of what it's like to live in the tension of the already of the kingdom and the not yet of the kingdom. Because sometimes we pray for the sick and they get well. It's a thrill of victory. Sometimes we tell our neighbor about Jesus and they want to follow Jesus. They surrender their life to Jesus. It's the thrill of victory. And then other times we pray for the sick and they don't get well at all. And in fact, we get what they had. You know, sometimes that happens. And it's the agony of defeat. Sometimes we tell our neighbor about Jesus and they don't want to have anything to do with us. They call us Jesus freaks and weirdos and all that. It's the agony of defeat. And we have to live in that tension. That's what the kingdom of God is about. Now, I told you last weekend that no matter what kind of physical, emotional, spiritual malady you have, if you're a follower of Jesus, the answer for healing in your life is always yes, always. But it may not be now in this body. We want it to be now in this body. We're praying for it to be now in this body, but it may not always be now in this body. But the answer for healing, if you're a follower of Jesus, is always yes. In fact, one day, this is going to be the reality for every follower of Jesus. Look at Revelation 21. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death, no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. That is the reality for every follower of Jesus. That's why we pray, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. And so here at the Vineyard, we regularly pray for the sick. And sometimes the kingdom comes. And sometimes people get better. Sometimes people get well. Sometimes people get completely healed. And it's the thrill of victory. And then other times we pray for the sick. And they don't get well. And it's the agony of defeat. And we just have to live in that tension. Now, James goes on in this verse 16, and he says one other sort of weird thing. He says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Why? So that you may be healed. We're talking about healing. Now, the Greek word for healed there means to be made whole. Physically and spiritually. So James says, if you want to be healed, you need to confess your sins to one another. Now that seems kind of weird, doesn't it? Because it's like, well, why can't I just confess my sins to God? In fact, the Apostle John, he says that's all we need to do. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, meaning to God, God is faithful, he's righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So why can't I just confess my sins to God? Why are there times when I need to confess my sins to other people? Because sometimes there are things in our lives that we just can't get free from by confessing our sins only to God. Sometimes there are things that we just keep doing over and over and over. Has that ever happened to you? You commit a particular sin. You confess your sin to God, he forgives you. And then shortly after that, you commit the same sin. And you confess it to God again. And after that, you commit the same sin. And you do this over and over and over. It's like a stronghold in your life. And you just can't seem to get free. And so what do you do with that? In fact, some of you are going through that right now. Some of you can't get free from an alcohol addiction or a drug addiction. Or an addiction to lust or pornography or an anger issue or whatever. And you keep confessing it to God. You keep repenting of it, but then you keep doing it. That is what you need to confess to another person. Because sometimes the hold is so strong, we just can't seem to get free. Now, obviously, this person you need to confess it to needs to be a very trusted person. You know, very, very honest, helpful person. You know, don't just go confessing this to anybody. But the fact is, if you get that sin out into the light, its power begins to be broken. That's what happens. Because it's not just in the darkness anymore between you and God only. You got it out in the light. You told somebody else about it, and boom! The power of that sin is lessened in your life. And all of a sudden, they pray for you. And sometimes healing happens right then. Sometimes healing happens a little later. Now, I know this whole issue that we're talking about, you know, sickness, healing, in the name of the Lord, demons manifesting, the kingdom of God, all of that stuff. You know, it's sort of complicated. But what I want you to know is this. I've never seen anyone go through the process of receiving ministry and not benefit from it. You know, I've seen the sick stay sick, but I've never seen a sick person prayed for by a really competent person and not be blessed in some way, even though they may not have been made well. And so that's why James says, do this, and it will be a blessing to everybody involved. And so that's what we're going to do right now. Let's pray. Now, many of you received prayer last weekend for some kind of malady in your life. Some of you were touched by God. Others of you weren't touched by God at all. If you were not completely made well last weekend, even though you received prayer, man, I would encourage you to receive prayer again. You know, oftentimes it takes multiple times of receiving ministry before there's a breakthrough. So don't think that, you know, that's a lack of faith if I go back and receive ministry. No, you need to keep getting ministry as often as you can. And then there are some of you here that you didn't receive prayer last weekend. Maybe you didn't feel like you needed it or you weren't here, whatever. But the way I want to do it this weekend is the same way we did last weekend. Anybody who has any kind of malady that they would like to receive prayer for, I want you to come to the front and we're going to pray for you. So I want you to come right now. No matter where you are, just stand up, come down here to the front. If you have somebody with you that you need to bring, then bring them with you. But just come down to the front and we're going to pray for you. Or pray for you again. I want to reiterate as you're coming a few of the things that I said last weekend, because it's the truth. No matter what kind of malady you have, this is not your fault. You know, some of you have been lied to by the devil that somehow you deserve this, that somehow this is your fault, that somehow this is just something that you're going to have to live with, quote, for the rest of your life, which, by the way, if you're a follower of Jesus, you'll never have to live with this for the rest of your life. You may have to live with this for the rest of your life on earth, but that's just such a short part of your life. You don't have to live with this for the rest of your life, because there's coming a day when no matter what it is, you won't have it anymore. You just won't. We're just saying, I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. That's the truth. And in that resurrection, there's no more pain. There's no more infertility. There's no more sickness. There's no more suffering. That day is coming. But we're going to ask God to bring a little bit of that day to this day, into your bodies right now, that the kingdom of God would break in. You don't have to do anything to try to receive this. You don't have to strive to get God to touch you. God loves you. And I want you to know the truth, that your pain matters. It matters to God. And it matters to us. And so often when we're in pain, we feel like maybe we've been forgotten. Like God has put us on the back burner. He's kind of forgotten about us. And that's a normal feeling, but it's not the truth. The truth is, God knows intimately every tear that's been shed, every amount of anguish that's been expressed. He knows. He knows, and He cares. And so what I want you to do is, why don't you just maybe close your eyes? You don't have to close your eyes, but this is a very holy moment. And the thing about Jesus is that He can walk in our midst by His Spirit right now and be intimate with every one of you at the same time. He can be intimate. And he wants to come and touch you. And so to the best of your ability, just open yourself up. Kind of like a flower that just wants to receive water. You want to receive water. So just open your heart, open your body up, and allow God to do whatever he wants to do. Holy Spirit, would you come more right now? Would you just touch every single person that's asking you for a touch right now? Now just let them come. Now, those of you on our ministry teams, small group leaders, would you please come and begin to, there's a lot of people up here, so you're not going to have time to, you know, spend a lot of time with each person, but just put your hand on people that are up here and just bless the presence of the Lord. I can see the Lord touching some of you right now. Some of you, maybe this is new to you. Some of you have felt this many times. Others of you have never felt this. Some of you right now, you're feeling a real deep peace. That's the Lord. Others of you are starting to weep. That's the Lord. Just allow him to do it. It's okay. That's God. Others of you are starting to shake a little bit. That's the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's the Lord touching you. Just allow him to come. You know, nobody has to touch you for healing to happen. And so, God, I'm asking on behalf of all of my friends that are up here, Lord, would you bring your kingdom right now? Would you bring a slice of the age to come into this present evil age and manifest yourself in every person's body right now? Every single one of them, God, bring healing right now. We speak healing in the name of Jesus to every physical, emotional, spiritual malady. In the name of Jesus, we break the power of every cancer right now. We command you to wither up. We command you to leave their bodies. We speak to the pain that's in every single body, and we drive you out in the name of Jesus. The name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. We say, pain, go. We break the power of every demonic assignment that's been against your life and against your body, and for some of you, against your family for generations. We curse that familial spirit in the name of Jesus. We curse that generational sin that has passed down sickness to you. In the name of Jesus, we command it to be gone right now. We break its hold over you right now. We command it to go. You have no place in any of these bodies right now in the name of Jesus. We speak healing to every knee, to every ankle, to every shoulder, to every elbow. We speak healing to every memory issue. We speak healing to every diseased organ. We command every cancer to wither up right now in the name of Jesus. Every blood disease, we speak healing to you right now in the name of Jesus. Every bit of infertility, we speak blessing to every womb that's infertile right now in the name of Jesus. Now come, Holy Spirit. Some of you right now, you're experiencing a touch from God. I just bless that. Those of you that are praying, some of you can see the Holy Spirit on people right now. Just go around and bless what God's doing. Lord, we bless your presence. Those of you that don't have anybody praying for you, it's okay. God can touch you right now with no one praying for you. Lord, bring healing. Glorify the name of Jesus by bringing healing. Drive out every bit of sickness, every bit of infirmity, every bit of weakness. In the name of Jesus, come, Lord. Strengthen legs. Strengthen arms. Bring healing to back problems. I speak to every back problem and every hip problem in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to those things. I command the pain to leave these bodies in the name of Jesus. Now, those of you that are receiving prayer, don't get in a hurry. You know, so often we're such a microwave culture that if God doesn't heal us in 2 minutes, we think that nothing's going to happen or God's not touching you. Sometimes it takes a few minutes. Just allow God to go deeper. Come more, Lord. Come more. Now, if we have any other ministry team members or small group leaders that are not already engaged, we have a lot of people, especially here toward the front, that people can't really get to. If you can make your way through. Now, because of the time, we're going to have to release the service. But I want those of you that are receiving prayer, I want you to continue to receive prayer, especially if you're feeling like the presence of God is touching you in some way. Or if you'd like someone to pray for you and you haven't had that yet. And so we will get to you, okay? But for the rest of us, what I'd like us to do is just to dismiss. Next week, and by the way, we're going to continue talking about healing and teaching about healing, so I hope you'll come back for that. But what I'd like those of you that are not up here to do is just sort of, you know, not really loudly, but just kind of quietly, you're dismissed. And may the Lord bless you for the rest of your day, and we'll see you next weekend, okay? But for the rest of you that are up here, we're just going to continue to minister. And if you'd like someone to pray for you and you haven't had anyone pray for you yet, would you please raise your hand? Because we would love to have someone lay their hand on you, okay? But we have somebody right here, a ministry team member right here. Okay, we have somebody there. These guys here. Raise your hand if you'd like someone to pray for you and nobody's prayed for you yet. Over in the corner, Keith, over there in the corner. Anyone else? Raise your hand if you'd like someone to pray for you. Lay their hands on you, pray for you. Those of you that are praying, take up your authority in the name of Jesus. Speak right to that condition in the name of Jesus. Interview them, find out what they want Jesus to do, and then speak directly to that in the name of Jesus Christ.